The following program may contain adult language and mature subject matter, and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Email Joanne, realityradio101, at yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Well, hello there, Gary.
Hello, Joanne. Welcome to Reality Radio.
Thank you, and welcome everybody else to my first show of Down the Garden Path.
Beautiful. You look great, and I know when you showed up at the studio, I said to you, wow, who's planting in this weather?
I know. What a day to start a gardening show. The first big snowfall in the GTA.
That's right. And for folks that are listening around the world, we're in the Toronto, Ontario area, and we've already started getting our snow. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to plant, but I need to buy a snow shovel or buy salt.
Salt.
That's what they're doing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, welcome. I just wanted to welcome and apologize to the people that are listening to my voice because, as you know, I'm getting over bronchitis. This is not my normal voice.
Yes. I hope you're feeling better.
I am. So, So I don't want people to think that, you know, this you're working with a freak, you know. So anyways, so welcome.
Thank you.
What's on the agenda? I want to, before we do anything, there's a lot of people that will be listening in and they're saying, wow, this is so cool. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and perhaps how you got into horticulture, which is the study of plants and trees and stuff like that, and what brought you down this garden path?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, and I have to say it kind of started out of necessity over 20 years ago, or almost 20 years ago now. My husband and I bought our first home late fall, moved in the winter. Spring came, we were both busy professionals, both working. This house was in Pickering, we were both working downtown. And the snow melted, and spring came, and we were left with all these established gardens, and we didn't know a thing about it.
Wow.
So I can remember the day we, in hindsight, rented a rototiller and rototilled all the perennial gardens just because we didn't know how to take care of them. So along the way of necessity and putting things in and learning about them, what grew, what didn't grow as best I can, it kind of started that way.
Prior to that, you never really had any, what you would say, experience doing gardening or doing a lot of work outside, pruning trees,
no.
Design, anything like that?
No,
nothing?
Not at all. We went from a condo to a house.
Wow.
Yeah, and we wanted a house on a bigger lot, and little did we know that meant a lot more work.
Yeah, of course. Are you a fan of Mark Cullen?
I am, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. Yep. For those of you listening around the world that don't, Mark is a household name here in Ontario, Southern Ontario, and he is an expert on this type of stuff in horticulture, so We just want to bring him up.
Yeah.
So very good.
Yeah.
Well, you're the next Mark Cullen.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, in fact, Wheel and Cullen, so back when I was still learning and figuring this all out, I joined the Pickering Horticultural Society back then, and the president or president worked at Wheel and Cullen. So she actually hired me. So that was kind of my first part-time job when my kids were little. My boys were young.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's really where the love of wanting to help other people. So certainly myself, I learned a lot about gardening for myself. But working at the nursery really helped me learn to help that how much I wanted to help other people.
That's great. Now, do you have any formal training?
I do, yeah.
What
so
is that?
After working at Wheel and Cullen and then Sheridan for a couple of years, I really decided I wanted to learn more. So I looked into different programs, and I decided to do the landscape design certificate program at Ryerson. So it was continuing ed. So it was in the evenings. I could take it one course at a time because I still had kids in kindergarten and grade one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that and finished that up in 2008. But by 2007, I'd started designing, for Sheridan and for myself.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and that's when I established Down to Earth Landscape Design. So that is my company. And
how about a plug? If someone wanted to get a hold of you, of course they can get a hold of you through the radio station, but also you have your personal email and business stuff. What is some of that? Could you give us that information?
Sure, I can. My website is www, everybody knows that, downtoearth.ca, and the important thing there is the number two. So downtoearth.ca. And my email address is Joanne, Joanne, at downtoearth, again with the two, .ca. And on my website, you can also sign up for some seasonal tips. I have a guide that I've put together to help people.
Nice.
In
And this is free, or is
it? Yeah, yep, it's free.
Oh, wow.
It just is kind of, this is what you do in spring, this is what you do. So it's very general.
Yeah.
But sometimes people just need a few pointers on what to do when.
I always need pointers.
Yes.
Now, when you say landscape design, let's go back to that for a moment.
Sure.
A lot of people think, okay, what is landscape design? I put a hole in the ground, I throw in some peat moss, I do this, I do that. But what is really landscape design? It's a whole architectural thing when it comes to horticulture, is it not?
It is, and I think of it as a plan. I think most people, when they're renovating their kitchen or bathroom, they'd never take a sledgehammer to their kitchen cupboards without having a plan on what they would do next and the functionality of the space. But for some reason, people have no problem digging up a hole or planting a tree in the middle of a spot, often, let's say, close to the front door, because they don't see the vision of that's going to grow and now that's going to block my window or block
right,
my front door.
Right.
So I think really design can be simplified in the sense that it's a plan. The garden should look good when you first put it in, but really it needs to be able to grow and grow to suit the house, to suit the entranceway if we're talking about a front garden. So I think that's where, for me, where landscape design is really important is thinking about the plan and thinking about the garden, not only now, but in the future, as well as seasonally. As you know, here in the Southern Ontario, we have four seasons. And I think it's important, really important, that the garden look good in all four of those seasons.
And, a lot of people have planted the wrong particular plant or tree or shrub in the wrong area, where, say, you need something for sunlight and it ends up in shade or vice versa.
Correct.
And, of course, number one, the plant or tree can die. Number two, if I'm not mistaken, then you have to, if you find that out too late, you have to dig it all up again and transplant it, right? And that's a shock in itself, is it not?
It is, it is. And often one of the first questions people ask me or first statements they ask me when I talk to them about their gardens is they want low maintenance.
Right.
And for me, low maintenance is the right plant in the right spot. If, you're planted something that wants sun and it's in the you've planted it in the shade and it's leaning over and you have to stake it, so then you're having to, that's work.
Yeah.
That's a pain,
It is. And what's, now, in Southern Ontario, we had some laws passed a few years ago, which tells us that we cannot use certain pesticides on our lawns, our flowers, our shrubs, right?
Correct, yes.
And when you put in a new garden, there are a lot of times that you want to make sure that you use the right chemicals and the right pesticides to keep that stuff healthy. Well, how do you feel about that? We can't actually do a lot of that now. So do you have any tips about people, you know, to people that it's all natural per se, but does it, the natural stuff that people use, is it just as good or not? Be honest about that.
Well, I think mostly the herbicide and pesticide ban has affected lawns. I think that's a big thing. The North America, where most of us are attached to our nice lush green lawn and weed-free lawn. So those bans have really, really affected the lawn. And the different herbs, herbicides that we're using now are not as strong. So it's going to take a little bit more effort to get rid of the weeds. As far as the garden goes, I don't know if people were really spraying because those weed killers could kill kind of even the plants. So people weren't necessarily using those in the garden as much. And I think you can still use mulch effectively to help cut down on weeds. But for sure, I think the biggest item for weeds in the lawn are products made with iron. So you kind of spray the weeds, and it turns them black and slowly
and
dies.
And on the periodic table, that's Fe, folks.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Okay.
I just wanted to be impressive, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
You've got a chemistry background.
Yeah,
now,
right. So okay. Yeah. And, because I was a little disappointed when that went through, but yet we're allowing the golf courses and some of the commercial areas, they still are allowed to use those.
Yeah.
Well, why? And, you know, why the difference, right? What makes them more important than us?
Well, I think it's more the children aren't playing on them.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of thinking long-term, the effects on our health.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, golfers need to think about that. But different. And also the people on the golf course, I think, are regulated and more knowledgeable in what they're doing as opposed to homeowners that are just spraying willy-nilly. I've had, you know, people who still can smuggle it through, and I hear of neighbors who, you know, one neighbor sprayed their weeds and it came through the fence and affected another neighbor.
You got to be careful.
So so I think that's still a concern out there.
Okay, now let me ask you this, if you don't mind. This time of year, let's put away the snow for a minute. Make believe it didn't snow. What's the most important thing a gardener, homeowner can do for their garden at this time of year? Let's say it didn't snow yet. Is there a particular prep that should be done for the winter overall for your, let's say, your annual, your perennials? Because annuals, it doesn't matter. You replant those, right?
Yes, yeah. You should get the annuals out. They're just going to add decay to the garden. Actually, I really think that we should leave our perennials alone. I'm a big fan of leaving the seed heads up. I think they provide winter interest. They provide seeds for the birds.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I'm not one that advocates for a really clean and tidy garden in the fall. I think there's most plants you can leave and then do a really good cleanup in the spring.
So spring is the time that you can really get out there and rake and clean up.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's some things you can do. I mean, certainly when our hostas turn yellow after a hard frost, you know, you do. They're not nice to look at. It's fine to cut those up and cut those back. I think the grass, I think raking the leaves off the lawn.
Like I didn't do.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it snowed. I think it's caught a few people off guard.
Yeah.
So giving the lawn a good rake, even if that means, you know, shredding those leaves and dumping them on your garden so that they can decompose, that helps for a nice little blanket for the garden.
Your garden must look incredible.
Well, I think I've kept it as low maintenance as I can. I kind of have a few secrets to doing that.
Are you
going to
let us
that.
Know those secrets?
Eventually. You'll have to stay tuned.
Send $9.99. Right. So let me ask you this. In your home, basically, who does the majority of the gardening chores? Would you say you, your husband, your children? Who?
I think it's a team effort. I don't have a great back from all the years of bending over the nursery color blocking annuals. But I have two teenage boys that certainly help with
good for them.
Cutting the grass and raking and all that stuff at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have to say that my garden's been in, we've been in this home about 7 years now. It's a new home, not the original one. And I'm really proud that I feel like I designed a garden that really does look after itself for the most part.
Mm-hmm. So now, speaking of leaves, John from Toronto just wrote in and he said, if I leave my leaves all winter, is that a damaging effect on my lawn in the spring?
It's not great, but I think then you just make sure that you do a good raking as soon as you can get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not as soon as you think, because you don't. If you do it when the ground is still too wet, then you're going to do more damage to the lawn.
And that's in the spring, you're
and
saying?
That's in the spring. Yeah. Sometimes people, you know, we get our first sunny day in March, and people are out there, and they're really thinking they need to get up the thatch.
Yeah.
And really, the lawn is too wet, so it does need to be dry before you get out there.
Okay.
And a spring fertilizer will definitely help. So it's certainly not going to be, it's not the end of the world.
Okay, very good. So you have a lot of information on in front of you. I see that. It
I
looks
do.
Like an encyclopedia, right? So, okay, continue. Now
continue.
Let me ask you this. As far as landscape design that you are privy to.
Yes.
Would that include, like, if someone wanted retaining walls and ponds and all that kind of stuff?
I can help design those, yes,
mm-hmm.
But then I work with, I don't do, as I say, I don't do any of the heavy lifting. So
right.
I work with contractors
right.
That can, then I can kind of connect the right people with the right contractors.
Very
and
nice.
Get that job done.
Very nice.
For sure.
What's your contact information again?
Sure. It's Joanne Shaw, Joanne at downtoearth.ca, or my website is www.downtoearth.ca.
Very nice.
There are a few other tips I can, assuming the no snow, like
yeah.
we talked about. One of the things I think people are really concerned about after last year in the ice damage that we had on a lot of evergreens. So I think the biggest thing that we could do right now is look after the evergreens. Also, I'm not a big fan of the burlap. I think we buy and plant evergreens for winter interest. But if your evergreens are in a particularly windy or sunny spot, then you might want to consider doing a screen or doing some stakes around the plant and then burlapping the stakes. There's a product you can spray. Now, we're kind of iffy right now in Southern Ontario because of the snow, and this product is an anti-desiccant, and that helps keep the moisture in the needles. But right now, it's a little too cold for that. So if we do get a melt and a couple of more warm days, then that might be something people want to consider.
And of course, that stuff's available at all regular, like
yes.
Lowe's or
yep.
We shouldn't mention their name because they're not
no
at a big box store, folks. You can buy those
yes, or any no your local nursery.
Yeah,
for sure.
You can buy those necessary items.
Yes,
but until they pay Joanne Shaw a promo fee, right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Very
so,
nice.
Keep in mind that the browning and the damage was really from the ice. We're not worried about the snow. The snow, just a normal blanket of snow on your evergreens isn't going to be an issue on your boxwood and yews. Last year, it really was the ice. It really suffocated. You know, we had that ice storm before Christmas, and that ice didn't melt till March.
Yeah, I know.
That was a long time. So boxwood especially was really damaged. So I think people are concerned. I've heard from friends that they're noticing neighbors are wrapping up their boxwoods this year, and that's fine, but I don't know that we'll get as much ice as we did last year. I think that really was a fluke.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah.
But it did so much damage. It was unbelievable how much damage that ice did.
Yeah, it did. It did. So, and fall fertilizer. So did you have a chance to fertilize your...
I did.
You did.
I did.
Good.
Now, fertilizer, I do my own. And it's kind of like a program where you have a spring, a summer,
mm-hmm.
a fall. And then actually, I don't remember if there was a winterizer or something I put on. I can't remember. But all those fertilizers that you put down, isn't the majority of that nitrogen?
It is. There's three sets of numbers. So yes, the first number is nitrogen.
Explain that when people see that.
Yeah, the first number is nitrogen, and that is to really activate the growth.
It gives it a nice green color as well.
That's right, right. And the middle is the roots.
The roots, okay.
The middle are usually low for grass. That tends to be, if you're using a fertilizer for plants, then the middle number is actually for flower.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the last number is potash, I believe.
Potash.
Yeah, one's potash and one's potassium. Yeah, and... that is the last number for roots, developing roots.
Now, if someone's doing new grass seed, I know a lot of times they say something with a higher nitrogen level you shouldn't use? Is it because you can burn the seedling?
Yeah. Well, you certainly wouldn't use a high nitrogen in the fall because you don't want. We're not trying to increase growth.
Okay.
It's usually a slow release fertilizer, something that's just going to gently feed the lawn theoretically all winter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's in the spring that you're going to want to kickstart it with a higher number.
Okay, well, it's just about that time for our first commercial break.
Excellent.
So we'll do that.
Thank you. You're listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm Joanne Shaw, and we will be right back. Thank you for listening to Reality Radio 101.
Every time I look at you, I go blind.
Every time I look at you, I go blind.
In the morning, I get up and I try.
When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-through yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing wood products at a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect.
Are you or a loved one experiencing allergies, asthma, back or neck pain? What about a slipped disc, stress or whiplash, or many other medical problems? If you are, the medical condition that you are experiencing stops right now. Meet Dr. Cameron Campbell. Dr. Campbell is Oshawa's premier chiropractor that deals with the root cause of your personal medical problems, and not just the symptoms that you are experiencing. Dr. Campbell's medical philosophy is simple and to the point that meets our human needs. As Dr. Campbell clearly states, we need to allow our bodies to function as they were designed. That is, we are self-regulating and self-healing beings. Given the proper environment, our bodies can deal with whatever stress life can throw our way. Reducing physical, chemical, and emotional stress will allow our bodies to function at the highest level. Call Dr. Campbell and his professional medical team at 905-725-0000. That's 905-725-0000. Or go to Dr. Campbell's website for comprehensive information on all of the professional medical services that Dr. Campbell and his staff provides. Go to www.campbellchiro.ca. That's www.campbellchiro.ca. Make your appointment right now and be pain-free and symptom-free tomorrow.
The following program may contain adult language and mature subject matter and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Email Joanne, realityradio101 at yahoo.com. And now, head over heels with plants, trees, and the outdoors, Joanne Shaw.
Well, we are back. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening to my premiere episode, I guess.
And it is premiere.
Yes.
It is. Very good. And by the way, just in case folks wonder, they're saying, you know, that we are this disclaimer at the beginning of the show. I just want to let everybody know that's just for legal purposes. I don't expect adult language and mature subject matter.
Yes, yes.
But we do have to read that. So
yes,
don't
problem.
Freak out, folks. Okay.
Yeah. Wonder where this call is going to go after the second half
this
hour.
This is not an X-rated flower show.
That's right. That's right.
So anyways.
I just wanted to revisit what we were talking about, the numbers, Gary. So it is, the first number is nitrogen. It's NPK, is easy to remember. But
NPK, right.
Yeah, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. So anytime you buy any type of plant fertilizer, those are the primary ingredients. And depending on what you need, those are the different ratios. So,
very nice.
Yes.
So in the summer, it's better to have it's better to have a higher nitrogen NPK number,
that gets
right?
That gets the grass growing. Greens it up, gets it growing. And then we mow it, right? It makes more work for us to mow it. So we're kind of caught in that little cycle of...
That's okay, though. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
What's the deal with in the spring where we get dandelions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something natural that you can put down that would... forbid the growth of those things? Or, because I know you can buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do buy it, mm-hmm. you know. But if someone were to say, I don't want to put any chemicals on my lawn,
mm-hmm.
is there anything known that would help with that problem?
Again, it's the product with the high iron. You would kind of go around and spray the leaves before they start to grow. Everybody knows what a dandelion leaves look like when they're starting in the garden. So, yeah, you'd be going around. So it's a very manual process since there's nothing anymore, no broadleaf herbicide that would get rid of the weeds for you that way. For sure. So, and the one thing about dandelions is they're very short-lived. I mean, once they don't like the heat, so you probably only notice them in the spring.
That's right.
Yeah, and then once it starts getting hot, they just kind of do away with themselves. So to me, they're one of the least invasive or least things to worry about, you know.
Do you make the soup?
Some people, soup, salads, different things with dandelion leaves.
And mushrooms, too. Do you know the difference between poison mushrooms and, you know?
No.
You got to be careful.
That's not worth the risk, really.
Yeah.
For
just
sure.
Just wondering about that.
Yeah.
Well, very good. So let's give out some contact information again. First of all, locally, if you wanted to talk to Joanne on the air or even off the air, here's what you can do. You can call us right at the studio right now. Our local number in the GTA, Greater Toronto Area, is 905-725-1907. If you are out of that calling area, we have a toll-free number for you. And Joanne's paying for the call, so just 1-866-905-7325. That is 1-866-905-7325. You can email us. Email people are standing by. Are they?
I don't know.
RealityRadio101@yahoo.com. And if you wanted to email Joanne off air, she does have that contact information. What is that, Joanne?
It is joanne@downtoearth.ca. Joanne is JOANNE. Yeah, if you have a question for me and you think I might need some research on answering it, then you can email it to me during the week, and I can answer your questions next week.
Bernice from Australia wrote in.
Really?
And she, yes.
Really?
And she says, are you related to Tommy Shaw of Styx?
That would be cool. But I don't think so.
Thank you, Bernice. What's wrong with you? Come on. This is not a music show.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bernice. All right. Very good. I just had to, you know, she had to read that for her.
Okay.
Yeah. Shaw's, are you related to, now I'm going to ask you this question. Are you related to the media giant Shaw?
Nope, unfortunately.
Darn.
I know. I
thought I had it in.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep, that would have been a handy connection.
That would have been. Right. All right, so here's the deal. Joanne is not only, and I'm going to call you this. I'm going to call you an expert.
Uh-huh.
You're not only an expert on, per se, planting flowers, trees, etc. If you folks have been thinking about really doing up your gardening this year, retaining walls, brick layouts, what do you call them? Any kind of patio sidewalk?
Yeah, any landscaping,
any
that
landscape?
Type of thing.
Lighting? What about lighting?
Yeah, lighting. Lighting's pretty important, yeah. The one thing the listener should know is, I know a lot of people, if you're thinking about doing it, everybody thinks, oh, I'll wait and I'll call the landscapers or the landscape designers, and perfect timing is to call us in March or April. But actually, that's not the best time to call us. Now is the best time. Contractors are booking now for next spring already. Chances are, if you get a hold of a contractor in the spring, in March, April, May, your installation will probably be September, October. They're booking
really?
That far advance. Yeah, especially this past year, I think it really set, the season started very late because we had that wicked winter.
Yep.
And normally they start installing garden cleanups beginning of April, and they start getting some installs done by the end of April, beginning of May. This time last year, they really didn't start until the end of May. So that set the whole season back.
Well, Mike writes, I got another email here for you. Mike writes in, and I don't know where he's from, but he says, I have pets that ruin my yard every year with urine, of course. Do you have any ideas as to how I can try to make that be better on my grass?
Yeah, on your grass. Yeah, I get that often. And I really don't know what to say about that one, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some people, one of the things with the herbicide ban is I'm noticing a lot of customers going with less grass and more garden. And so then if you have a smaller area for the dogs, then it's not as cost prohibitive to just replace that sod.
Yeah. How about a garden and then instead of grass, just rocks, stones?
People have done that. There's a lot of people going, all patio and then the rest of it garden. I've installed quite a few of those, quite a few front yards where we've eliminated
like
the
that.
Grass. No?
I love grass.
Yeah.
And my golden retriever just passed away last year.
Oh,
and
okay.
She, beautiful dog, but she would, obviously she had one spot we trained her to go to.
Yes.
And we kind of let that be her spot. But if she did happen to go in another area of the yard, if you didn't catch it and dilute it with water, say, if you're sitting out there and you see her go, once in a while I'd say, I'd pick up the hose and just wet it down and it was fine.
Yeah.
But if you don't, of course, it kills everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
And if your yard is suitable for possibly a dog run, so there's a specific area, you let the dog into.
Yeah.
The side of the house where it is all gravel or all mulch
instead
of grass. That's an option some people have done, but not everybody's house is set up for that.
Yeah. So now, what would you say if somebody said to you, I'm thinking of putting in the lights are called nightscaping. What's that called? Or just nightscaping?
I mean, I think landscape lighting, that's important. I think that would be a good term. The thing about that is because, most people are busy professionals and they, they spend a lot of money in their gardens and then they're working all day and come home and they don't get to see it. So the advantage of lighting is you can really still enjoy your garden, either from viewing it from the house, you can have accent lighting on different trees and different focal points in the garden. Also, they've made some really neat additions to the patio stones or the interlocking brick where they've got little light inserts.
I saw that.
Yeah, right in for either the stairs for safety or, just in different highlights so that you really can enjoy your landscape longer in the day, which I think is important because if you make a big investment on a new backyard and new gardens, I think landscape lighting, I know that's something we really don't have in our backyard. And I know I've done the tacky, Christmas lights along the fence and
We've
stuff just
that.
So in the middle of winter, you can have a bit of lighting back there.
So
but,
you're telling me basically you're a browser. You like to go, I'll say, box stores.
Yes.
And you're looking at all the new stuff that comes out every spring and you're always looking at stuff, doing research and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, visiting trade shows and things like that. You see what's new and what's coming out.
Wow, sure. Very cool. Mark for C. Sure. Mark C., I think I pronounced his name right. Mark C., and he says he put a small pond in his backyard last year, and he wants to know, he's thinking of doing fish this year. Any suggestions on how, what, where, why with fish?
Fish, not my super area of expertise. I've got a contractor who
I like them with tartar sauce.
Do you? Yeah. I do too.
And French fries.
But I think it depends on the size of your pond, Mark. It has to be deep enough if you're going to overwinter the fish, literally, yeah, in the pond. It needs to be deep enough. You need to have hiding spots so that the raccoons and the wildlife can't get to the fish. You need this, so then there's the pond is kind of built specifically so that there's hiding spots,
right,
and ledges so that, you know, the animals, raccoons, sure, especially, can't get to them. So it's a little tricky to do it from that point of view, kind, mm-hmm, of after the fact. So there are some people that do it for the summer and then do bring their fish in for the winter.
And that's right. And my neighbor used, yeah, to do that. I had fish 1 year and they died.
Yeah.
I blew it. Yeah. And you're saying koi or goldfish? What do you,
yeah,
use?
Yeah, either one. Last year, I think most, in addition to the winter affecting the evergreens, mm-hmm, they affected the fish. So even, yeah, people with really deep ponds, yeah, and a lot of fish and all those safety precautions, the bubbler, the works,
yeah,
very few fish, wow, survived last year, unfortunately. It was just so long of a winter,
yeah,
and so long of an ice cover.
Right.
On their ponds, that it was tough. So hopefully those winters happen just once in a while and not every year.
Now, besides doing stuff with flowers and shrubs, trees, all that, I think you answered this already, but do you have any expertise on growing like your own herbs and vegetables and stuff like that? What, a vegetable garden?
Yeah, I've been experimenting with that myself. I've been doing a lot of gardening in pots and containers. I don't have a spot in my backyard for a vegetable garden. We have a house with a pool in the backyard and very little space around that pool. So I was never able to have, and that's where my yard gets the most sun. So my only option was containers. So I started off just, you know, throwing a cherry tomato plant in a container and experimenting that way. And this past year, I think I had 6 or 7 containers. I think I've got it on my blog or my,
wow,
my website. I tried a window box of peppers, and I even have another product that I found. I was trying to find some, because vertical gardening is also, you're talking about how I view the trends.
Right.
And that's been a hot one, is vertical gardening.
Explain that, exactly.
Well, I think a lot of us are looking at these ugly fences. We all want the privacy the fences offer in our yards, but then we have to look at these ugly fences. So, and people with smaller yards and smaller spaces for gardening, vertical gardening allows you to do, you know, garden on the wall, on the fence. Herbs especially, and vegetables.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I found a product I really liked and tried it out this past year and grew lettuce.
Really?
So it was like two, I'll give a shout out to Woolly Pocket. So I liked them because it wasn't plastic and kind of tacky looking. And it was like a nice fabric, warm wool fabric. And it was two pockets called Woolly Pocket. And I planted lettuce, and my lettuce got me to, you know, I planted in May, and it got me to till late August, for sure.
That much?
Yeah, that much. And I have to say, though, this, in addition to everything else, this summer wasn't great for vegetables.
Yeah.
Peppers especially, I think, didn't do well. They really do need heat.
How about pot? No, yeah. Only kidding, folks.
I don't know.
We don't
condone about
that.
Yeah.
Stop that nonsense. All right.
So, So anyway, it was a challenging summer for the vegetable gardeners, but I've learned a lot, and I'm hoping to learn more.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grow our own herbs here.
Do you?
Yeah, and I was thinking, what about greenhouses? Now, there's greenhouses commercially available for people they can put in their yard. Are you familiar with some of those? They sell them in the bigger box stores.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some people seem to say, hey, you know, I can have this stuff all year round. But I don't see how that can really work in our climate. You know, even a greenhouse in the backyard in this weather isn't going to do much.
No, it really isn't. I think it's really in our climate, I think, in the spring for really hardening off things before,
yeah,
you put them out. You know,
I see.
And that's, to me, that's for the real keeners that are bringing things in,
yeah,
for the winter, or the starting plants from seed, which to me, that's, you know, that's fine if you do that. But I tend to be kind of hence the name down to earth. I'm,
yeah,
kind of like, you're down to earth. Low maintenance, take the easy road, Yeah. You know, I think gardening shouldn't be that hard, and not everybody has, you know, that time to put in time and energy to grow your vegetables from seed.
When are you going to write your first book? Right?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, I think so. So
it's great
I think
information.
We can let the growers grow the vegetables, and we can buy them in their 4-inch pots and plot them in our containers, and
cool.
We'll be good to go.
All right.
So.
Well, it looks like we're going to take another quick break. Okay.
Okay.
So, and by the way, so Joanne, what are the people at home listening to? What are they listening to? What's this show called?
Oh, it's thanks, Karen. You are listening to Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw. I'm Joanne Shaw, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101.
Isle's West Indian Food Mart in Pickering would like you to visit their store for a wide variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, halal meats, fresh and frozen fish, and provisions from the islands. They have weekly specials at unbelievable prices for the whole family. Drop by today and see for yourself. Then fill your cart up with something from the island. Yeah, man! Isle's West Indian Food Mart is located at 1660 Kingston Road and Brock Road in Pickering on the northwest corner, Units 7 and 8. They offer excellent service, and they will even customize your meat orders. Come over to Isle's West Indian Food Mart today at 1660 Kingston Road in Pickering. Their telephone number is 905-686-2584. That's 905-686-2584.
Are you curious about your birth sign? Have you ever wondered about the most positive day to choose for a wedding? Or the best date to schedule an upcoming event? Have you ever questioned what the planets and stars have to do with your future? If you stated yes to these questions, then you need to consult astrologer extraordinaire Marilyn Mazzotta for your very own personal astrological reading. Marilyn is a certified professional astrologer with over 35 years of amazing astrological experience, providing her clients with enlightening consultations that are available over the phone or through Skype. Please check out the many professional astrological services that Marilyn has to offer at www.readingsbymarilyn.com. That's www.readingsbymarilyn.com. Why wait? Get a fresh and new perspective on your life. You will be amazed.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne by email, email her right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com.
And I don't want to go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment. And all I could.
And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw, no relation to Tommy Shaw of Styx. I had to get that in there.
Yeah, you did. Thank you, Gary. Well, sure. We are back. You are listening to the first episode of Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
You seem to be very busy on that phone.
No, yeah, it's buzzing away. You're very popular with my friends. They're going to be having a nice laugh. They like your voice, Gary.
Oh, it's terrible. Please, you'll sound
Yeah, I know. You'll sound better next week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well,
when you're
they can
over
hear
the
commercials I did, you know, recorded. So yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
it's right. Pretty bad right now.
My friends are buzzing away there. So
good.
Yeah.
Tell them to call and write in.
Yeah.
So very good. So, Joanne, give us your, again, folks, if you want to contact Joanne off air, she does have a website, email, et cetera, right?
Yes.
Why don't you give us all that stuff again?
Sure. It is, my website is downtoearth.ca with the number 2, so down, number 2, earth.ca. And my email address is Joanne, Joanne, at downtoearth.ca. So
very nice.
Yeah.
And you do have, they can sign up for your newsletter?
They can sign up, yeah. A seasonal tip guide as well as my monthly newsletter. I do a newsletter by the same name, Down the Garden Path. I send it out to my existing customers for the most part, or anybody else who signs up. And I really tried, again, like I said, most of my customers and the people I know want a garden that is low maintenance. Now, that doesn't mean no maintenance. There's still you still need to do something. So I found it was very beneficial for me to create a newsletter that went out once a month and told them what to do in their garden this month. And because I'd often get, you know, during the crazy season, I'd get a lot of emails and text messages and phone calls about, oh, Joanne, what's wrong with this? And what do I do with that? And it was really hard for me to answer everybody. And so I found if I was proactive with the information and just shared with them at the beginning of the month, this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten, you know, the hit list isn't huge, but I've gotten really good feedback and it helps people know what to do and what not to do. And yeah.
And cool. I got an email here from Joey of New York. Hey, Joey.
Okay.
I had to do that. I just had to do that. He says he was reading something about watering in the summer. People tend to overwater their lawns and some people tend to underwater their lawns. What is the tip to have a lush green lawn regarding water as far as how much water you should, you know, weekly, monthly?
Yeah. Well, it's really 1 inch a week. It's really not that much. So
just
you can,
inch.
Yeah. So you can get most big box stores or nurseries have a little plastic container with a little stake in it, and you can put that in your grass, kind of in a, you know,
like a water gauge or
a
rain
like
gauge.
A gauge, you know, so that you can see, you know, keep track of how long that hose is running. And it's really good, not good to overwater because then you really create shallow roots. The roots of the grass need to learn to go deep and get the water. So, so that is a common thing that people overwater. And this past summer, we had enough rain. I don't think anybody watered too much. But,
When necessary, I'm assuming that you guys water, because I know a lot of my neighbors say, you know what, if it dies, it'll come back. And this
for
and
sure.
That.
It never really dies. It goes dormant. So it just kind of shuts down and says, you know what, it's too hot. I'm not going to be green anymore. I'm going to take a rest.
Oh, cool.
So it's really not, unless it's new sod that you haven't watered and it hasn't had a chance to establish. But
I wish our toilets did that here so we don't have to keep paying the water bill. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So Joey, 1 inch of water per week.
Yes.
What about exceptionally hot, dry spells? Would you maybe go a little bit more than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where you just have to gauge it. And again, I prefer to pay more attention to my garden than to my grass from that standpoint. And water is actually, it's a good subject to bring up right now, because I was talking about evergreens and the needs for, you know, people wrapping and concerns about how the winter damages the evergreens. But one thing we can do, and yes, even with the snow outside, is continue to water our evergreens.
Even in the winter?
Yeah, just until the ground freezes.
Okay.
So they'll have the more moisture reserve that they have in the ground for their roots, the more they're going to be able to stand up to those winter winds and the moisture loss. So especially anything that was newly planted this year, it's really important to still water because the ground isn't frozen. Yeah, we've got some snow and temperatures are low, but we can still dig. And so usually by till about Christmas. So anything, especially if there's a big evergreen, especially cedars, important. No fertilizer or anything. We don't want to encourage any growth, but we do. We can keep watering, and that will help.
Is this a bad time of the year? Forget about again the snow we had. If someone wanted to, let's say it was at the beginning of November, end of October, what have you, is it a bad time to prune trees this time of year?
It is, yeah.
Never?
Never, unless there's, there's really not, shouldn't. I was trying to think of a good reason.
There's not, right?
Something that's poking you in the eye when you walk to the front door.
Yeah.
Pruning really encourages new growth.
Okay.
And we want our plants at this time of year, that October, November time of year, to kind of start getting ready for bed for winter. Surprisingly, once the ground is frozen and the plants are dormant in the heart of winter, then you can prune.
Real, and do companies
deciduous
do it
trees. Yeah, that's
What's
a
that
good
mean?
Time to do it. Trees that lose their leaves are deciduous trees.
Right, okay.
And trees that don't lose their leaves that have needles are evergreens.
Correct.
So,
And I just So, but to play it safe, spring is a good time to prune all trees? Or you want to do it before even spring?
Yeah. Most things you want to wait, you want to do early spring.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it starts to warm up, think of the maple syrup time, right? That
right.
means all the sap is running in
right.
the trees, even if it's not a maple tree, but everything inside the tree is starting to run,
mm-hmm.
you know, late spring. So that is not a good time. If we're talking specifically trees, that's not a good time to prune. You want to wait a little bit later. And for anything that blooms in the spring, you don't want to bloom, you don't want to prune too late in the spring, and then you're going to lose your bloom, your flowers for spring,
oh, okay.
right?
Yeah.
So you can prune again that early, you know, sunny day in February.
But you're
if you
saying
feel like,
winter, huh?
Yeah, you can
See,
do
I
that.
I thought that would be the worst time to.
No,
do that.
No, you can
winter.
Do winter. You can do some pruning of deciduous trees. Yes.
Okay, so
hydrangeas, especially, they're one of my favorite, and I probably put them in most every garden that I design.
Mm-hmm.
And the limelight hydrangeas are one of my favorites, but they can get big.
Mm-hmm.
And the best time to prune them, because I leave mine up, I don't prune them. I think the winter interest right now,
mm-hmm.
They look very nice. They start to go, you know, a coppery brown color, and I leave them up. But the best way to kind of control their growth is by pruning them in the early spring.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I do have some trees out back, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't get to pruning them last year. And you can see it now with the leaves all down, you know, what, you know, things that need to be pruned. And I thought, well, I have to wait till spring again. So
mm-hmm.
maybe I could hit that in January, February?
Which plant? Sorry.
Oh, trees.
The trees.
Trees. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. Okay, I got to find someone who can climb.
Yes. Well, you and often that's when they are busy, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the ice, you know,
yeah.
another one of those things with the ice storm. That time of year when that ice storm hit, that was normally a busy time for arborists and all those
Real?
Professionals.
So
that's when they're doing it. That's because the trees are dormant.
Oh.
So that's when they're out there. So they were already booked. I know I was speaking to one, and he was already booked solid till the beginning of March, and then the ice storm hit. And
yeah.
so he had to, and those were emergencies.
Yeah.
So they have been going gangbusters.
See, and I thought that was the worst time to do it in the winter like that.
Yeah. Why did you think it was worse?
Well, because I thought when things are dormant and you would cut something, you
mm-hmm.
would injure it.
Yeah. No.
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 Wow.
No, it's sleeping, so it's not
yeah.
really,
nice.
No damage. And then when it starts to wake up, it's fine.
I hope my wife isn't listening.
Why?
Because she'll make me be doing it.
Yeah, she'll make you get
yes,
out there.
Yes, you know. And I have one of those nice, beautiful pruners that are like 30 feet long.
Oh,
the pole
yes, one of the pole ones.
Yeah, but
yes.
it's like, you know, I hope she's not listening.
although she promised me she was going
yeah,
to be
because
your wife's
yeah,
a gardener.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's good.
Do you find yourself when you in your travels, when you're driving around or walking, where most people may be looking or thinking of something else, you're looking at trees and plants, you're in your car, and you go, oh, look at this tree.
Yeah.
Do you do that a lot?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. In fact, my girlfriends are listening. We went on a garden or house tour this past weekend.
Right.
Looking at the Christmas decorations.
Right, you're telling me that.
Yeah, and, you know, I kept looking out, like, you know, as much as I enjoy the inside, you know, I'm, like, looking outside at the gardens, and at one point we're walking back to the car, and I lagged behind to take photos of something, and they're like, you know, what's something we said? And I'm like, no, I'm just taking pictures,
amazing,
you know?
Though.
So, unfortunately, my eye goes and sees the different things outside, so...
Let me ask you a couple things. Well,
sure.
since this is your first show, we just got a couple of minutes. But what is your favorite plant?
I would have to say hydrangeas. Yeah.
What is your favorite tree?
Ooh, my favorite tree. That's a tough one because I think I have a lot of favorite trees for different, because there's a different tree for different situations. So that's a tough one. I'm, you know, off the top of my head, I will say the one tree I do use often is serviceberry, because it offers that at least three seasons. You have a spring flower, a summer fruit for the birds, and some interest, and it has a nice fall color.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what, folks? I think this first show, there's quite a bit of information.
Yes,
I know.
We talked
learned,
about a lot.
I learned quite a bit, actually. And
thank you for all your good questions, Gary. That was great. And thank you for the few people that emailed
yeah,
in.
Thanks,
that was really...
Thanks, folks, for emailing in. Let's give out your contact information one more time before
sure.
we go off the air for this show.
Okay.
If folks want to get a hold of you at any time, off air, how do they do that?
They can email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca. Again, it's J-O-A-N-N-E at down with number two earth.ca. And my website, please visit my website at downtoearth.ca.
Very nice.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
No, except I hope you're listening. I hope you'll come back next week. And
I hope you write a book soon. Right?
Well, please email if there's more things. Hopefully the snow will have melted and we can get talking more about what we can do in the garden with these last few weeks of the season. But if not, I'll come up with some good stuff to talk about next week.
So. Yeah, because I'm dying to say, all right, be the fourth caller right now to get Joanne's new book. Right? I'm dying.
Are you dying to say that?
I am.
All right.
An autographed copy of Joanne's new book, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
You got me into this, and now you're going to get me into doing a book.
We'll get you doing something.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Joanne. Thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
And I apologize to the folks for not having a voice, but you can listen to Joanne again next week, same time, right here, Reality Radio 101. Stick around. Coming up, it's Kickstands Up with your host, Lou Devano. And we'll see you next week right here on Reality Radio. Say it. I want to hear you say it.
You want to hear me say it. Yeah. Reality Radio 101.
Bye, folks.
Bye.